Hey, welcome. Okay, we're probably not going to continue talking like that. Welcome back, final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means it is the Crunch Exchange. I am Alex. He is Steve. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. Give him a prospectus from those stories. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling, or if it's pending. Really weird story from baseball today, as the MLB has suspended umpire Joe West, who is easily the most well-known ump in the bigs right now, 3 games for comments he made about Adrian Beltre. In an interview with USA Today, West was asked about who was the biggest complainer across his 40 seasons as an umpire. West said he once called a strike on a pitch right down the middle and that Beltre complained about it and said it was outside, to which West said, "You may be a great ball player, but you're the worst umpire in the league. You stink." Now, most of us would just call that funny, as did the umpire union, which chalked it up to playful banter. The league did not see it that way, suspended West 3 games for what they called the appearance of a lack of impartiality. There's something to both sides of the argument, certainly. The prospectus: Joe West should have been suspended.
Beltre is very, very touchy. Very touchy. He's kind one of those macho guys.
Won't let people touch his head.
Like I say, he's kind of a macho guy who is surprisingly touchy-feely at times.
Playful, yeah.
3-game suspension for that, with all the crap he's pulled and how he's actually challenged guys and made it about himself. That's ridiculous. Sell it.
Yeah, 40 years of him being a hard ass.
Being Cowboy Joe West.
That's what he gets.
He cracks a joke. Oh, man, that's brutal.
Let's get to some NFL, which we are knee deep in the preseason right now. Feels good to have some football back, even if it's mostly scrubs playing. Guy who is not a scrub, Devontae Freeman of the Falcons, just became the highest paid running back in the NFL thanks to a new 5-year extension he signed today. Now, you could ask random, somewhat interested NFL fan who the best running back in the league is. He might not be in the top 10, but he balls out. 2 straight 1,000-yard seasons, ran for 11 touchdowns last year, also one of Matt Ryan's favorite targets out of the backfield, 157 catches in his 3 seasons in the league. But with Le'Veon Bell still without an extension, Ezekiel Elliott still on his rookie deal, the prospectus: Devontae Freeman should be the highest paid running back in the NFL.
Caught 54 balls last year. With he and Coleman, they combined for 1,600 rush yards, 19 TDs, 85 catches. So I think having him as part of the best tandem is important. As far as the highest paid, it's kind of splitting hairs. He's among the youngest productive guys, aside from the Howard kid, who was a great rookie last year for the Bears. DeMarco Murray got his cash. So it's like, is it really a big difference if he's second or third? He deserves to be one of the highest paid. So I'm going to buy that.
The big news over the last week is what has been going on in Miami. First, Ryan Tannehill goes down with a knee injury that wasn't actually an injury. Then he suddenly turned into a season-ending injury. So the team goes out and signs Adam Gase's apparent best friend, Jay Cutler, to a 1-year deal, $10 million. Cutler, who was in full-on dad bod mode getting ready for his TV gig with Fox as an in-game analyst. The stats support the move. Cutler's best season was with Gase as his coordinator in Chicago. Miami has legit weapons for Cutler to get the ball to, and the Dolphins in general are at least close to contending for big things in the AFC. And they already, however, had Matt Moore, who is actually one of the best backups in the league in terms of production when he's forced to play. But they got Mr. Slouch to fill in. So the prospectus: signing Cutler was a smart move for the Finns.
Don't sell yourself short, Jay. You're a tremendous slouch. They could not go into the season knowing Tannehill's gone. They could afford the dough. It almost seems like a no-brainer. And I'm still not 100% sold that he's definitely going to be the starter. But it gives them options and temporarily keeps their season alive. I mean, despite the caller we had the other day, they ain't beat New England anyway. But the object is to get into the playoffs. So I'll buy that. I think it was a wise move.
The NBA made some schedule changes yesterday in an effort to ease the burden on their players to help avoid coaches having to rest them, so fans get to see the big stars when the teams travel to their cities when those games are on TV. It's the LeBron James rule. Teams will no longer play back-to-back games leading into national TV games. There will be no more 4 games in 5 days scenarios. Single-game road trips greatly reduced, and the physical distance of road trips also going to be reduced. These are big-time moves by Adam Silver, but how much do you think they'll affect how a guy like, say, Greg Popovich, who is on record for not giving a crap what anyone does or thinks, how much will it affect what he does? The prospectus, the NBA schedule changes will affect how coaches rest players.
Well, it's interesting in that for the overall product, and I get TV drives the train, why did they have to wait till now to implement them? Was David Stern engaged otherwhere? I'm kind of on board with Adam Silver. How will it? I think it'll definitely impact it, because when they're playing on national TV, there's not going to be a reason for Popovich to submit an injured list and give under the reason old. It looks like there probably only will be guys who are not healthy that won't be playing in those games.
So real quick, before you give your official answer, towards the end of a season, say, San Antonio already locks up a playoff spot, will it matter? If, you know, there's no 4 games in 5 days, will Popovich just sit him anyways?
Maybe, but wrapping up a playoff spot and wrapping up a 1 or a 2 seed are different. Sometimes that's a little later in the season and might only impact a game or two. So I actually like the move, so buy it.
Wait, actually, the,
sell it?
Yeah, the prospectus was, will it affect how coaches rest players? So no.
So
it will affect
right.
how they rest players.
That wasn't a buy, sell, or pending.
It's
it was
sell.
A yes or no.
It's a sell.
Sell it.
Look, man, it's a sell, okay?
All right.
Floyd Mayweather made a super odd comment in the last day about his upcoming fight with Conor McGregor. Showed a little bit of humility in admitting that he has lost a step and that it means McGregor might actually have a shot at beating him. Is this a boxer saying this about himself? Like Floyd Mayweather, one of the most arrogant people on earth, saying this about himself? Apparently so. But you dig a little deeper, you realize the venue for the fight isn't even close to being sold out, and the pay-per-view sales aren't what they would like them to be right now. And why is that? Because everyone thinks the fight is a sham. Because it is. But Floyd is long in the tooth and hasn't fought for 2 years, so he could actually have a point. The prospectus, you buying what Floyd is selling, that Conor might have a shot because Floyd has lost a step.
Well, he has lost a step. When you're 40 and haven't fought in 2 years, you can't be the same guy you were. But, and I'm not giving this as my answer, what Mayweather is saying is sell, 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 sell,
right,
sell,
right.
Because he knows there's a direct tie-in to the amount of cabbage he walks away with. So there's no way this guy who's got like, well, all great boxers are arrogant. You think you can walk into the ring and not think you're going to kick the other guy's ass and survive and excel?
We just saw 4 press conferences of him saying the exact opposite.
Right, right, right. I'm not buying a thing he's selling because he's trying to sell the fight. So there you go.